It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We'll have our podcast in there, upcoming guests, and our op-eds. Great show planned for you today. And we'll go through some headlines in this first segment. We'll also talk with Bill McCallop. He is a candidate for Colorado House District 6. Tim McCormick, a candidate for District Attorney for Adams and Broomfield Counties, will be in the second segment. And producer Steve, I know you are very excited about our guest in the third and fourth segment, Katie Kiefer. She's a young woman. She's a columnist and author. She's written an excellent piece that was in Town Hall, Courage to Hope. And I know you're excited about that, producer Steve.
Well, only because you had said, hey, take a closer look at that. And I did. And in light of some of the things going on around the country, I thought, boy, do I need to hear something like this? So I even sent her an email yesterday saying, hey, I'm really looking forward to this because I need something to, you know, hope on.
Okay. So, yes, that'll be the third and fourth segment. So I'm excited about that. And always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's Zach, Keith, Patty, Charlie, and Steve. I appreciate all of you. And listeners, thank you so much. I appreciate each of you as well. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We need to look at these issues that are facing our country today. We look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or freedom versus fear. Fear is such a, it's such a powerful emotion, or fear versus freedom. So we need to be looking at these things and asking these questions: what, why, when, how, where, and who. And our quote for today, because Katie Kiefer started her piece off in Town Hall with J.R.R. Tolkien, a quote from him. I thought I would go ahead and do that as our quote for today. J.R.R. Tolkien was born on the 3rd of January in 1892 into a family of craftsmen. He died on the 2nd of September in 1973 at the age of 81. He's best known for his works of The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and The Silmarillion. And J.R.R. Tolkien was a close friend to fellow author C.S. Lewis, and were both members of the Inklings. And this is what he said, and this is from The Fellowship of the Ring. All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadow shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king. What do you think of that, Steve?
Well, it's, you know, it's obviously set up in a more of a prose fashion, and it's maybe not as direct and blunt as some of the things that you quote, or some of the people some of the people that you quote, but still it's uplifting.
It is. And I ended up watching The Lord of the Rings. I've read a whole bunch of C.S. Lewis books, and those guys, you know, and I see in their writings, I see a lot of biblical stuff in correlations in that. So wouldn't you have loved to have had dinner with the two of them? Can you imagine what the conversations would have been like, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien? It would have been amazing.
Well, again, small minds to my small mind to a greater mind. I'd just be like I'd be like a sponge.
for sure. Let's jump into some of these headlines that Patty has pulled for us. I mean, there is a whole lot going on, as we can tell. And first thing, I just saw this breaking that President Trump has now said, apparently, that the coronavirus is going to get worse and that he is encouraging mask wearing. And, you know, when we talk about getting worse, Dr. Jill Vecchio and I will be recording a couple of podcasts tomorrow. And when we say worse, you know, what does that mean relevant to the beginning of this whole whole scamdemic? And that is that, you know, first we wanted to flatten the curve so that we would not overwhelm the hospitals. Well, then the hospitals were not overwhelmed. Now it's moving to, I think, we don't want people to get it. It's a cousin of the common cold. We have never found a cure for the common cold. But to my knowledge, I only know a few people that have gotten the coronavirus. A couple of them just, rested and got through it. Another of them did a treatment of hydroxychloroquine, and they got through that. But otherwise, I do not know very many people that have gotten coronavirus. How about you, Steve?
Not in the early goings, but here lately, there are some, people that are, not in my everyday circles, but people I know. And, the one gentleman, it put him in the hospital for, 3 or 4 days before he was allowed to go home. And now he's at home in quarantine.
Okay.
But, I didn't warn you about this. I'm going to go off here on a tangent.
Okay.
So does influenza A, influenza B put people in the hospital? And there is a letter going around. The author is supposedly Dr. Fauci, and he starts out with chickenpox is a virus, and he goes through all the, the information, and he summarizes, we know this because it's been around for years and has been studied medically for years. HIV is a virus, and he goes through all the permutations of that and what we know about it. And he says, we know this because it's been around for years and it's been studied medically for years. So then he goes into, let's talk about COVID-19 and what we know about it so far. And I'm thinking, okay, add to this list other viruses like influenza A, influenza B. We've learned how to live with them. And I'm not sure, it's this letter, after you get done reading it, it's like, this is apples and oranges. Because,
interesting.
It's like, we learn how to live with those things. But now he jumps on the, COVID-19 thing, and it's nothing but panic. And I'm thinking, you're a bright man, Ms. Dr. Fauci, and you obviously have risen to the top of your field. But what is the point of what you're saying here?
Yeah, I know. It seems like they're trying to really panic people. And then the overreach of government. Did you see this? This was from, Patty found this. It's the Broward County, Florida. It's an emergency order 2022. And it's the responsibility to ensure compliance with applicable orders. It's a residential property residence. All persons who reside on any residential property, whether single family or multifamily, and irrespective of whether they own or rent the property, must ensure that all persons on the residential property, including guests, comply with all applicable guidelines of any Broward County emergency order, including the facial covering requirements. Residents who fail to ensure compliance with all applicable Broward County emergency orders by such person shall be subject to the penalties set forth in Section 856 of the Broward County Code of Ordinances, with each person present and in violation of an applicable emergency order constituting a separate violation. Steve, what that means is they want people to, in their homes, wear face masks or face coverings at all times. I believe that we have gone too crazy on this, Steve.
Well, and then another item in Patty's package today is what the city of Denver wants to amplify their stance on mask wearing. And you read it and it gets into the most ridiculous bureaucratic rules and regulations about, you have to post a sign. And the sign
has to be a certain size.
And who's going to enforce all this? Well, they have an answer for that. They'll find somebody, to enforce it and just, bloat the bureaucracy even more.
Meanwhile, down at the Capitol is totally been defaced, tons of destruction. And then this is from CPR.org. There is a new trench fever that is, no pun intended, getting a foothold in Denver. Dr. Michelle Barron, Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Control at the University of Colorado Health Hospital, received an unusual call in June from the microbiology lab. It's the confirmation of the third case this year of trench fever. It's a rare condition transmitted by body lice that plagued soldiers during World War I. She said that two is always an outbreak, and they found a third. And this is down in the homeless tent area down by the Capitol. And so here, you know, we're having all these ordinances regarding, you know, how to control everyday hardworking people, while the tent city is continuing to grow. The people's house has been defaced. And we're seeing a clear choosing here of what is happening to our city. And, you know, they talk about economic development all the time. And, you know, what's going to happen is I can't see businesses and people wanting to move to these blue-run cities run by Democrat mayors and states, Democrat governors. I cannot see businesses wanting to go to these cities. So, Steve, just a quick question. I know that we're going to talk with Bill McCallop, and I know he called in a little bit earlier. Have we heard back from him?
Oh, he's here. He's waiting. He's standing by.
Oh, okay. Okay. I did not realize that. Hey, Bill McCallop, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
So you have stepped to the plate, and you are running for Colorado House District 6. And tell us, first of all, why are you stepping forward, Bill McCallop?
Well, first off, it's McCallop, but sorry.
Oh, sorry.
That, but,
thank you.
Yeah, no worries. You know, I moved up here 20 years ago from the Gulf Coast, and it was such a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And I want to try and preserve exactly what that's been. I think we've lost in the legislature here in Colorado the whole idea of being reasonable and balanced, and you know, and kind of taking care of things that the voters want to take care of, as opposed to what the legislature wants to do. So for that reason, is why I'm running.
So District 6, that is the district that you're running for, correct, Bill McCallop?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It is.
What are the boundaries of that?
So generally speaking, it's Cherry Creek. So from a neighborhood's kind of perspective, you know, starting from kind of the south is Wash Park and Bonnie Bray, Polo Club, and then beyond that up to the north would be like Mayfair or Hilltop. Lowry is included, you know, Bill, in that area as well.
Okay. Bill, I really do think that this is a time for choosing. We, you know, what has happened just this year, 2020, to the city of Denver and to probably your particular district. I mean, there is a lot of kind of craziness going on. And so I think that we do need to bring some sanity back to what's been happening down at the state legislature.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. And I think, you know, some of the bills, in fact, that have been passed even at the end of the legislative session are, you know, sort of distressing, to say the least. You know, and they go to, you know, fiscal policy and fiscal issues and the like. You know, everybody wants to talk about Tabor and the taxpayer bill of rights and that sort of thing. And you know, we as individuals have to. Manage our own lives, live within our means, and that ought to be true for the state as well. And so I think Tabor and the Taxpayer Bill of Rights is a good thing, but you know, the legislature has run off in directions that you know, sort of try to circumvent what Tabor's all about. There's a lot of folks who don't like the restraint. Guess what? Living as an individual, all of us, sometimes we don't like that restraint either, but it's the right thing to do.
You know, Bill McCaleb, we do a lot of research on the show, and we have seen and we continue to bring forward kind of these runarounds of what you mentioned, the Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which is Tabor. And Tabor is an amendment that was put into the Constitution by the people of Colorado that says, hey, legislature, if you want to raise our taxes, if you want to incur debt that we, you know, will have to pay off, or if you want to keep excess revenues above, we'll give you a very generous formula of population plus inflation. If you want to have additional money, you just need to have the good manners to ask us. And so those that are advocating to not have the good manners to ask us, I think that we should be very suspect about putting them back into office.
Well, I would agree with you. And I think, you know, there's going to be in November a couple of ballot initiatives. One of them is a reduction in our income tax. I think it's 4.6, if I remember right, to 4.55%. But the other one, maybe even more importantly, is the attempted circumvention of Tabor, in that it's about these fees. You know, if you can call it a fee instead of a tax, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this new initiative with respect to the fees would also similarly require a vote of the people as well. And you know, we live in a democracy. That ought to be the way it goes.
Yes, that is very important. I'd like to also make the point, Bill McCaleb, that the Democrats of today and many of the Democrats down at the Colorado legislature are not the Democrats of JFK. JFK actually advocated lowering taxes for everyday hardworking people. And so this truly is a time for choosing. How can people get more information about you, Bill McCaleb?
So, you know, there's a great place to go learn a little bit more about me and a bit more about the issues. It's on the website www.preservingcolorado.com, and you'll be able to take a quick look at me, a quick look at the issues, kind of what I think is unique talents that I bring to the table for the legislature. I'm a 40-year business executive, and have learned how to solve problems and promote innovation as well as build teams. And so it's that sort of talent, I think, that's also necessary for the current climate that exists in downtown Denver at the state capitol.
Oh my gosh, that's for sure. We need to send people to the state capitol that respect the state capitol. So Bill McCaleb, thank you so much. Let's stay in touch.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day. And thank you, all the listeners. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. And that was Bill McCaleb, who is running for Colorado House District 6. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, as you know, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners. They have 5 locations here in Colorado: Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, and curbside service. Happy hour at Hooters, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. They have half-off select appetizers. Today, Wednesday, is Wings Day. All you can eat wings for $15.99. They have lunch specials Monday through Friday. So go to order.hooters.com for more information. That's order.hooters.com. And let's go to break. We'll be right back. We'll be talking with Tim McCormick. He is a candidate for district attorney for Broomfield and Adams County. And with what is happening in America right now, I cannot wait to talk with him.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the dented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Tim McCormick. He is the candidate for district attorney in Broomfield and Adams County. And go to my website. Tim and I sat down and did a really great podcast in my Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast where we have a more in-depth conversation. You were so constricted by time here on the show. But Tim McCormick, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you for having me back on.
Boy, I'm so glad that you're here. I can't wait to ask you. What we have seen happen in St. Louis with Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey, who people were actually destroyed property to get into a private area, going by their house, threatening them, threatening their dog. And so the McCloskeys exercised their Second Amendment rights to protect their property. And I think as of yesterday, they were put under arrest. So what's your thoughts on this, Tim McCormick?
Well, a couple of things, boys. A lot of things have changed since our time on Sounding Off with Kim Munson, and thank you for that opportunity. And I agree, people can go back and look at that. You know, we even talked about the St. Louis DA out there. Her name's Kim Gardner. She's a Democrat. She was elected in 2016. It doesn't take a lot of research to find out that she was funded by George Soros to the tune of about $30,000 in a super PAC that was put in place for her. She's had nothing but conflict since she's been out there, more criminal defendant friendly than she is victim friendly. And to this case, I mean, from the naked eye, these people were defending themselves, defending each other, defending their property. The protesters were not protesting peacefully under the First Amendment. They had broken through an entrance, a gated area, to get into their community. So from the naked eye, it certainly looks that way. But you and I have talked enough to know that I believe in the process, and we have to let the process work out through the court system. And obviously, it's heated on both sides. We've had the Missouri Attorney General get up there and talk about already filing a motion to dismiss. But boy, it sure smacks of political district attorney activism for sure.
You said something interesting there, that this particular district attorney, the Soros district attorney, is more criminal friendly than victim friendly. And you mentioned something to the naked eye. We've seen what happens. But I think that you're right. We need to let the process go through because we've talked about due process here mm-hmm. in America. And that is really important. So I guess we do need to let the process work its way through, huh?
Yeah, who knows what information they have or what witnesses they spoke to or something of that nature. But you do need to let the process go through. You do have to do due process. I think they were, and I haven't looked at this. I don't know if they were physically arrested or if they were just given a summons to court. But she's already given a clue. You know, she said, well, if they're convicted, we're going to do a diversion program. But I suspect that if this were to work its way through the process, that'll be long and involved.
Yes, it probably will. And expensive for them as well.
Sure.
Sure. Although I guess he's an attorney, but he probably needs to have another attorney as well. let's move over to Chicago, which I think Chicago also has a Soros-funded DA. Is that correct, Tim McCormick?
Yeah. Kim, individual is Kim Fox. She's a Democrat. She was elected in 2016, and if you do some research, find out that she was financed by George Soros to the tune of $800,000. I think you can look at, interesting, and it's just sad. It's just sad and tragic. You know, Chicago, great town, great place, but you look at what's going on in there every single weekend. People are being shot every single weekend. People are being killed. Yesterday, I think the news reported, 15-some people injured, several in critical condition as a result of a gunfight at a funeral. And all this while the mayor is either tweeting or whatever, posting media about her disdain for President Trump. I mean, allowing her town to become that way is just horrific. And head of the Fraternal Order of Police out there issued a statement last night that, you know, basically they're intentionally running the Titanic into the iceberg. And he lists, you know, Democrat DA Kim Fox as one of the problems with the judicial system. And and the lack of prosecution out there.
Well, and interesting, Patty had pulled this, the violence last weekend in Chicago, 63 people were shot and 12 were killed. And I'm wondering, where is the outrage on this occurring into our in our cities, Tim McCormick?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kim. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's a very good question. You would think that these folks that are upset with what's going on would focus on that and demand change there. But when you look around, you know, the country, it's unfortunate that these Democrat district attorney activists, which, you know, by the way, is right here in our backyard with the rising crime rates here in Colorado, in Denver specifically, out here in Adams and Broomfield County, Jefferson County, all of them, crime rates are on the rise. And you would think that there'd be more active prosecution, holding people accountable, looters, rioters, property destruction, assaultive behavior. And these cases just continually get dismissed by, I mean, we'll call them what they are, activists, Democrat DAs in these other cities. I don't think anybody, I think a couple of people have been arrested down in Denver for some of the property destruction, looting, rioting, assaulting down there. But most of them got their cases dismissed. And then recently here, what, Monday, we filed a case against a woman who was in her car, you know, surrounded by these rioters and protesters and drove away and struck one. Again, we have to let the process work out, but it sure looks like we caved to public pressure.
Well, and just a couple of anecdotal stories before we go to Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Yesterday, I heard two stories from friends of mine. One, a friend of mine said that his car was totaled yesterday. It was just sitting on a residential street in Denver. And an individual came, you know, going through the neighborhood, 50 miles per hour, and hit my friend's car. And basically, then the person that was driving got out and ran. And this is not over here with you yet. This is with the police, because the police have been under, you know, such assault. It took over 2 hours for the police to get to my friend. And then another story is a friend of a friend. Lives down near Colfax, down near the Capitol, and her neighbor, people were coming and just, you know, using her faucet and taking water from her. So she put a lock on her faucet, because she has to pay for water. It's her water. And they vandalized her property. And, you know, this is not good for a society for this to be happening, Tim McCormick.
No, you know, people taking advantage of those types of situations and doing this without any repercussions whatsoever. And, you know, again, it's concerning when you look at the overall factor that these activist DAs are weaponizing the law against innocent citizens as opposed to those responsible for more serious crimes that are either caught on video or they have evidence and they choose simply not to do it.
And that's why these races are so important, Tim McCormick. So how can people get more information about you?
Well, Kim, I agree. We've said this before. Elections have consequences. I think this election, it's more apparent than anything else. You know, it's politics versus public safety. It's rule of law versus lawlessness, experience versus, you know, political agendas and grassroots versus the establishment. So McCormick for DA, McCormickforda.com. If people want to get some information about me, there's contact information on there. Be happy to talk to anybody anytime.
Okay, well, Tim McCormick, great. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
All right. Thank you, Kim, and have your listeners have a good morning, and you as well.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. My gosh, we've got a full show today and serious issues. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll be quick, Kim. Things were fairly quiet yesterday in the market. The Dow started up over 300 points, gave about half of that back to close up about 159. NASDAQ was about the same. It started positive, gave back the gains, and ended up with a loss of about 89 points yesterday. I had mentioned yesterday that IBM had come out with earnings that were horrible, but not as horrible as expected, and that was pushing the Dow early in the morning. Well, by the end of the day, Kim, the stock had given back all of the gains that it had early in the morning, so the less crummy than hoped for earnings didn't ultimately help the stock to make a gain for the day. This morning we've got futures down just a little bit, maybe about 60 points on the Dow. One notable, recognizable at least, earnings report that came out was Snapchat. Again, they've never turned a profit. They're still losing money, but apparently the earnings report was that they lost less money than expected this quarter, and that stock's up about 8 or 9% in the pre-market, so it may have a good day, at least at the opening.
Isn't that interesting? They're not earning money, but they are earning less than however you said that, and so the stock is up. I mean, it's kind of crazy out there. That's why sitting down with you and your friends over at Presidential Wealth Management, it's important to look at these things. And you know, if you're in Snapchat, you know, maybe you might want to sell into some of this support. I mean, who knows? But it's good to sit down and talk with you guys and see what your crystal ball says, Chase McBride.
Yeah, well, I have to admit, my crystal ball's been broken for about 30 years, but somehow we still manage to get by. You know, sometimes you get experience. When you don't get what you want, you learn things from it. And yeah, I think our advisors, for the most part, most of us have gray hair. We've had experience. We've seen the ups and downs. No one's seen anything, but I don't think you can go wrong sitting down with any of the fine advisors at Presidential Wealth Management to get a checkup on your portfolio and see if any changes may possibly need to be made.
And always it's nice to do this in a position of strength instead of fear. We talk about that all the time. So Jason McBride, have a great day. The phone number over there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And check out our landing page together. That's airpresidential.com, AIRpresidential.com. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Katie Kiefer has written a great piece in Town Hall, Courage to Hope. You won't want to miss it.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Katie Kiefer. She has an excellent piece that was in Town Hall earlier this month, Courage to Hope. Katie Kiefer, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kim.
I tell you, producer Steve has been just so excited that you're going to be talking about this. You started off the piece, Katie, with J.R.R. Tolkien. You said, "A light from the shadows shall spring." That's from the Fellowship of the Ring. And you said, "Hope is a dominant theme in Tolkien's famous fantasy." You said, "Despair threatens to grip each of us during these turbulent times. But thankfully, there's many reasons to hope." Tell us why, Katie Kiefer.
Yes. As an author, I think that Tolkien is the best author out there. I admire him so much for the hope that he gives in his writings. And so I think about him all the time. And in this article, what I tried to do is something he does is inspire hope. But there's three primary reasons that I point out in this article. And the first one is the economy. The economy is recovering despite what people see out there. The second is that there's ample evidence that the silent majority can and will defeat Joe Biden, and I talk about the polls. And then the third is that there are concrete action steps that you and I and your listeners can take to be part of America's revival And I give some of those as well. So we can go into whichever of those that you'd like to talk about today.
Okay. Let's start, first of all, the economy's recovering. Just kind of hit that quickly because, you know, it's been such an interesting time since this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. So where do you see the economy recovering?
Well, I see that we'll have a V-shaped recovery. And if people don't see that now, Morgan Stanley strategists say that in the next 6 months, anyone who doesn't believe that we have a V-shaped recovery is going to believe that. There is so much good news out there with regard to jobs and deregulatory actions that our president has taken. Last week, he gave a speech where he indicated how his deregulatory actions are going to increase household income annually by at least $3,100 in the coming years. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He's also going to infuse $220 billion a year or save that much a year to consumers and businesses. So if you're a business owner, that's something to be really happy about, how he's cut so many regulations to save that much money in our economy. And then another thing that gives me hope is the S&P 500, which has been moving up consistently every day, pretty much from its low in March. And Charles Schwab says that there's research showing that when the S&P 500 has risen in the 3 months before an election, the incumbent party generally goes on to win the White House, and this trend proves to be true about 87% of the time. So anyone that's worried about Joe Biden, you know, don't look so much to whether, you know, some people have lost jobs or people are reporting these unemployment numbers, because there's actually other numbers to focus on, basically, that indicate that our economy is recovering. It's going to be a process, but it's happening. And then another thing that is important to remember, if you're on the fence about Trump and don't know whether he's done enough for our economy, is to go back in time just a little bit, but it's so easy to forget, and compare him to Barack Obama. And Trump actually grew GDP at 2.5% annually in his first 3 years, whereas with 8 years in office, Obama actually had the worst average annual real GDP growth of any post-war president at 1.5%.
Well, and then Obama said that this is the new normal. And then when talking about President Trump, when President Trump said that we could make America great again, that we could get this economy going, he says, what does he have, a crystal ball? I think that's, or a magic wand, that's what it was. Does he have a magic wand? Well, he did have a magic wand. But, Katie, I agree with you. There's this underlying good news. But people that are watching mainstream media, and there had been a report, you know, the cable news networks, and for example, Fox News, their five shows in the evening have a pretty good viewership. It's like 4 or 5 million, I think, each night. But that 30 minutes from like 6 to 6:30 on the mainstream media, there's 30 million viewers. And so the message is being skewed on that. What's your thoughts on that, Katie Kiefer?
Yeah, we have to go out of our way, unfortunately, to find alternative ways to get the real news, such as your radio show and other places where they're not spinning it. If people are telling you you have to do something, you have to wear a mask, you have to get a vaccine, you have to stay at home, you have to just, I would encourage people to question that. Why are they entitled to say that when there's so many other experts, epidemiologists, doctors, and whatnot? There's 500 alone who signed a letter to President Trump, I know, telling him they disagree with what the mainstream is saying with regard to our reaction to COVID. Think for yourself, question everything, because just because someone has a cable TV show definitely doesn't mean that they are, you know, an expert on any of these subjects.
You know, I had said to someone, I had never watched, I don't watch much television. And so I'd never seen, you know, Trump's television programs, and I didn't really know his personality. So the first time I saw the debate, you know, between all the Republican candidates, I'm like, goodness. I jokingly say out of everyone, he was like my 17th choice. But as I watched him, I mean, he did not have to run for office. You know, they had a nice life. And, you know, they could have played golf. They were well. I mean, he didn't have to do this. And I said to someone that I really think he cares about everyday hardworking people, no matter what group descriptor the left is trying to put people into groups. I think he looks at each of us as individuals and wants the best for everyday people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a great point that you bring up. I'm not sure if you're familiar. You probably are, and many of your readers are probably familiar with G.K. Chesterton. He is an author, and I'm reading his book, Orthodoxy, right now. And he actually, in the chapter I just read, he said, we must crown the much more exceptional man who knows that he cannot rule. And what he meant by that is you should give power to someone who doesn't have to rule, who doesn't want to rule because they need it for a job, they need it for some sort of, they need it basically. And we have so many politicians from Harry Reid to Nancy Pelosi, and they need the job because it makes them feel like they have meaning in life instead of being a grandparent or whatnot at that age that they're at. Whereas you have Trump, who definitely didn't need to do that, and he's just choosing to do it because actually is making his wife's life 10 times worse. He's
oh my gosh.
He loves America. So
and the family has stepped up. Katie Kiefer, before we go to break, you know, I'd gone from Trump was my 17th to I actually got to go to the inauguration. And I was standing out there with thousands and thousands of Americans. I was standing next to a father who had brought his 17-year-old son. They had traveled all the way from California. He was a farmer. And he told the story of a guy that had worked for him, and this is in the Central Valley in California, that his son, and I think the father was Hispanic, he was so concerned about the gangs were after his son in the high school that he was going to. And he said what has been happening with, you know, this illegal immigration has been so bad. And he said to this father, this guy that I was talking to, he said, you've got to get your son out of that school. And so as I was standing there watching all this, when Trump said, we are going to give the power back to the people, which, you know, goes directly to our Constitution, we the people, I knew that there was something special that was going on. And before he even went to the lunches, he started to roll back many of these edicts of the Obama administration. And so that is why I think it's like rats on an infested ship. Things are crazy out there because he has he's really stirred things up. Katie Kiefer, your thought before we go to break.
Oh, I totally agree. And choice is so important. You have so many more Americans who have more choices and more freedoms because of him. And one of the biggest is school choice. And he supports that. And for that reason alone, so many parents should be applauding him, because the only way to revive America is to revive our educational system and change the way that we're teaching our children history and basic subjects, basically, so they compete on a global scale.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And if you're a mother in Chicago right now, last weekend, where they had, I think it was 63 shootings, you know, wanting to get your kids out of a school or out of that neighborhood, that is so important. And as you mentioned, President Trump does support school choice. Let's go to break. I'm talking with columnist and author Katie Kiefer. She has written a very important piece that was in Town Hall earlier this month, Courage to Hope. So stay tuned. We'll continue the conversation.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. It highlights our upcoming guests, our op-eds, and our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. And on the line with me is columnist and author Katie Kiefer. She's written a great piece that was in Town Hall earlier this month, Courage to Hope. And Katie, let's talk a bit about the silent majority. You say that they're alive and that they're going to vote, but I see all kinds of activities that are working to try to make sure that their votes don't count. Like we have this national popular vote legislation that was passed here in Colorado that says whoever gets the popular vote throughout the country, that Colorado would give our electoral votes to that particular candidate. So in essence, that would take away the vote and the voice of Coloradans. It would give it to the large population centers. We see mail-in voting. Now, as far as votes being counted with mail-in voting, that, you know, I think all the votes are counted, but so many people don't know the issues. They don't know the candidates. And so that's a way that I think that they get around it. And then Patty, my researcher, had found this piece that there are a whole bunch of billionaires that are giving $500,000 to Biden. One of them is Meg Whitman, who was a Republican candidate for Senate in California. I mean, I'm a little concerned about that, but you seem to be very positive about it, Katie Kiefer.
Yeah, well, it's appropriate to be concerned and to stay aware, because we do have, I mean, one thing I say in here is that we can't just sit back. We have to get involved and volunteer, be active in our communities, and take action. But with that being said, there is a lot of positive news with regard to how many people support Trump. It's very easy. We can all succumb to it at times to feel like we're alone. You drive down your street and you never see a Trump sign, or it's very rare, and it's much more common to see the local liberal or Biden or something silly like that. So it's easy to feel alone, and the main objective I had was to make people realize that inside those homes that have no Trump decor on them, there are Trump supporters. 12 million people across three major cable networks watched Trump's campaign launch rally in Tulsa. Fox broke its Saturday night viewership record. And then there were scores more Americans who watched via live stream and smaller networks. We keep hearing that Biden is leading in the polls, but it's good to remember that in late June, so essentially where we are right now, Hillary had a 12-point lead over Trump, and of course she went on to lose in 2016. And there's even pollsters out there who are admitting that there's favor in the polls for presidential candidate Joe Biden. This is a quote from New York Times data journalist Nate Cohn in June. He said, "So far in 2020, it sure seems like Joe Biden is faring particularly well in the states where the polls were most biased towards Hillary Clinton 4 years ago." And just remember how weak of a candidate Hillary is. Well, Joe Biden, you could easily argue, is an even weaker candidate. They definitely don't want him to debate President Trump because he would lose in an instant. And the fact that he won't debate, people are going to think about that. Like, they think they can just hide him in a closet and that's not going to affect voters. Yes, it is, because you're voting for a question mark. One of the most obvious signs of his weakness is that he is basically so senile that he's making blatantly racist remarks in an effort to win the black vote. And most of your audience probably knows, but it's good to remember that in May he said, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or for Trump, then you ain't black. So just don't let the polls, don't let the pro-Biden news discourage you, and know that there's Trump supporters out there. I know my parents live on a corner. There's four corners in their little residential area, and all four neighbors are Trump supporters, and they're just biding their time, and they've got about 20 Trump signs that they're going to put out as it gets closer to the election.
I just thought, no pun intended, biding their time on that, huh? Okay, so you say take action, heighten your happiness, and you actually call out Colorado. You said if you live in Colorado, Maine, Minnesota, Vermont, Virginia, Nevada, or New Hampshire, the stakes are high. We know that. I have a couple of new friends, Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas, who have founded I'm a Trumpster. They have been in the black entertainment business for many years. And when President Trump, they heard him talking about intellectual property rights. And property rights are so inherent to the American idea. And Biden's plans, the Marxist plans, the socialist plans, they abolish private property. So Reggie and Johnny recognized how important not only, you know, it's our physical property rights, but also what we create. And Trump understands that as well. So they have brought I'm a Trumpster to Colorado, and they're working. They have a 42-foot bus. They're going to vinyl wrap it. We're helping them do that. And the grassroots, just a quick plug for that, go to I'm a Trumpster, imatrumpster.com, and donate. And for every $50 that you contribute, you'll get a cool battle mask. We'd like to distribute those at the party that we're going to have with the bus. But they're going to take that into ethnic neighborhoods to work to garner support for President Trump. It's pretty creative, and there's good things out there happening. And so if people want to volunteer, they could help us with that, Katie Kiefer.
Yeah, definitely. I'd encourage people to get involved and volunteer. I give a lot of reasons. You can find the column at katiekiefer.com, and my name is K-I-E-F-F-E-R. But there's ways to get involved, and I have the links of how to be a poll worker, and we have a dire shortage of poll workers, because so many actually are over the age of 61. And I can understand many of them are concerned to be out if they have, you know, compromised health or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so we need younger people to get involved and be poll workers. And then if for some reason you do have compromised immune system or whatnot and you just aren't able to get out, I highly recommend prayer. Prayer is so powerful, and you can do that from anywhere. So keep those prayers coming.
Okay. So what would your final thoughts be that you'd like to share with our listeners, the kind of the takeaway, Katie Kiefer, that you want people to be thinking about today?
Well, the most important thing to remember when you're watching the news or just observing, you know, what's going on in the world on social media, is that you're not getting the full story. I listened to a young man out in Seattle who went there, and he said that they're not allowing cameras there, and they're physically attacking anyone who has a camera, and they're only allowing people to show the chants, the moms linked arm in arm. It's very important to remember that we're not getting the full story, and they are trying to intimidate us and make us fearful. So the more calm and at peace you can be, and at happy, you know, if you need to spend time with your family or be in the garden for a while to just be at peace, that's a good thing, because they want us to be anxious and full of fear. That actually works for them.
Okay, so look at the bigger picture. And I would really suggest that people go and read your piece that was at Town Hall. You said you can get it on your website. And again, Katie, what is that website?
Oh, katiekiefer.com.
And that's K-I-E-F-F-E-R, correct?
Yes.
katiekiefer.com. Katie, thank you so much. And I know we don't like to, as women, tell our ages, but you are a millennial, yes? Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So that's also another thing to give us hope is these great voices, these great millennial voices. So Katie Kiefer, thank you so much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on, Tim.
And our quote for today is, again, J.R.R. Tolkien from The Fellowship of the Ring. And it goes like this. It says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. "So do I," said Gandalf. "And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." So my friends today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further.